Welcome, everybody, to Biblical Resources for Palm Sunday. Our gospel is the Passion according to Matthew. That's Matthew 26, verse 14 to 27, verse 66. This is very long, so I'll read simply the central part of it, beginning at 27, verse 32. As they went out, they came upon a man from Cyrene named Simon. They compelled this man to carry his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they offered him wine to drink mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his clothes among themselves by casting lots. Then they sat down there and kept watch over him. Over his head they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then two bandits were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priests also, along with the scribes and elders, were mocking him, saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross now, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now, if he wants to. For he said, 'I am God's son.'" The bandits who were crucified with him also taunted him in the same way. From noon on, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And about 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, "This man is calling for Elijah." At once, one of them ran and got a sponge, filled it with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink. But the other said, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him." Then Jesus cried again with a loud voice and breathed his last. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. After his resurrection, they came out of the tombs and entered the holy city and appeared to many. Now when the centurion and those with him who were keeping watch over Jesus saw the earthquake and what took place, they were terrified and said, "Truly, this man was God's son." Many women were also there, looking on from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee and had provided for him. Among them were Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who was also a disciple of Jesus. Initial observations. There is a core similarity between the four accounts of the death of Jesus in the New Testament. However, they differ in sequence and in details, allowing various understandings of the cross to unfold. Thus, both Matthew and Mark treat the death as tragedy, the tragic outcome of the ministry of Jesus, rejected by his people and abandoned by his followers. Luke, in contrast, treats the death of Jesus as that of a martyr prophet, on the model of the Old Testament prophets who suffered for their preaching, and in anticipation of the death of Stephen in the Acts by Luke also. In the fourth gospel, the portrayal is that of a triumph, which brings together the lifting up, the hour, and the glorification of Jesus. Because the death of Jesus was and is such a deeply mysterious and indeed perplexing event, different dimensions are explored and laid bare by different New Testament writers, the earliest being Paul. The Old Testament background. Number one. In all the accounts, there is an underlay of reference to the Psalms and the prophets. By delving into the Hebrew Bible, the first generation of Christians hoped to understand what had happened at the cross as somehow in continuity with God's earlier word. Psalm 22 is especially rich in resonances. And I'll read a selection of these references. Psalm 69:21. They gave me poison for food, and for my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Psalm 22:18. They divide my clothes among themselves, and for my clothing they cast lots. Psalm 22, verse 7. All who see me mock at me, they make mouths at me and shake their heads. Psalm 109, verse 25. I am an object of scorn to my accusers. They see me, they shake their heads. Lamentations 2:15. All who pass along the way clap their hands at you. They hiss and wag their heads at daughter Jerusalem. Is this the city that was called the perfection of beauty, the joy of all the earth? Psalm 22, verse 8. Commit your cause to the Lord. Let him deliver. Let him rescue the one in whom he delights. Wisdom 2:18. For if the righteous man is God's child, he will help him and will deliver him from the hand of his adversaries. And continuing into verse 19 and verse 20, let us test him with insult and torture, so that we may find out how gentle he is, and make trial of his forbearance. Let us condemn him to a shameful death, for according to what he says, he will be protected. Amos 8:9. On that day, says the Lord God, I will make the sun go down at noon and darken the earth in broad daylight. And again, Psalm 22, verse 1. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me from the words of my groaning? And back again to Psalm 69:21. They gave me poison for food, and for my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Ezekiel 37:12. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And finally, the quotation from Deuteronomy 21 verses 22 to 23, cited by St. Paul in Galatians. When someone is convicted of a crime punishable by death and is executed, and you hang him on a tree, his corpse must not remain all night upon the tree. You shall bury him that same day, for anyone hung on a tree is under God's curse. You must not defile the land that the Lord your God is giving you for possession. Old Testament resources number two. An especially rich resource for early Christian reflection were the suffering songs in Isaiah, that is Isaiah 42, 1-4, 49, 1-6, 50, 4-11, and 52, 13-53, 12. In the historical context, the servant is perhaps Israel. And the early Christians saw here passages which helped them to come to grips with the crucifixion. The links are as follows. In the first servant song, Isaiah 42, 1-4, there is reference to it in Matthew 12, 18. In the second song, Isaiah 49, 1-6, again there's reference in Matthew 12, 18. The third song, Isaiah 50, 4-9, is referred to in Matthew 5, 39. The fourth song is far more extensive, and I'll take you through the lines of the fourth song and give the references to Matthew. Surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases, yet we accounted him stricken, struck down by God, and afflicted. Isaiah 53:4, referred to in Matthew 8:17. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. That's Isaiah 53:7, referred to in Matthew 26:63. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him with pain. When you make his life an offering for sin, he shall see his offspring and shall prolong his days. Through him the will of the Lord shall prosper. Out of his anguish he shall see light. He shall find satisfaction through his knowledge. The righteous one, my servant, shall make many righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will allot him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out himself to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. That is Isaiah 53:10-12, widely referred to. See Matthew 20:28 for verse 12, and see all of Matthew 26:28-27:38. What kind of writing have we here? The scenes recounted belong to the genre of biography, dealing with the tragic end of Jesus' ministry. Using narrative adjustments, it offers its own interpretation. New Testament foreground. Number one, the passion predictions help us see the theology of the writer and perhaps something of the understanding of Jesus himself. These are found in Matthew 16:21, 17:22, and 20:17-19. Number two, the words at the supper over the bread and wine also interpret the death. That's Matthew 26:26-29. Number three, Matthew introduces three earthquakes into his gospel. These are symbols of God's presence and action, and so here he introduces an earthquake. A small citation from St. Paul. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. 1 Corinthians 11:26. Brief commentary. For this I won't read all the text, simply the appropriate verses. Verse 32. As they went out, they came upon a man from Cyrene named Simon. They compelled this man to carry his cross. Simon, a historical figure, here models authentic discipleship, as described in Matthew 10:37-39 and 16:24-28. Verse 37. Over his head they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. This is a cruelly ironic comment in the light of the rejection of Jesus in 27:25. Verse 39. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." This is a combination of important temple sayings with the temptations at the beginning of the ministry. It signals that Jesus is confronting not this or that bad person, but evil as such. Verse 45. From noon on, darkness came over the whole earth until 3 p.m. This is symbolic darkness, signalling that the cross is an end time, eschatological event. Verse 46. And about 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," that is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" The first words of Psalm 22, placing the death of Jesus in the context of a psalm of lament, which itself returns at the end to deep confidence in God. Verse 47. When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, "This man is calling for Elijah." Elijah was expected at the end, as we read in Malachi 4:5. His mention here tells us that something to do with God's final end-time purpose is unfolding in the death of Jesus. Verse 50. Then Jesus cried again with a loud voice and breathed his last. The actual death is a wordless cry. Verses 51-52. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs were opened and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. The curtain stands for the mother religion of Judaism, represented by the curtain which veiled God's presence. The earthquake is symbolic. Matthew, Luke and John bring the consequence of the death forward in a symbolic way. Verse 54. Now when the centurion and those who were with him, who were keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were terrified and said, "Truly this man was God's son." A profound Gentile confession matching Peter's confession at 16:13 following. Verse 55. Many women were also there looking on from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee and had provided for him. The women at a distance contrast with John 19. Some of them will be witnesses to the resurrection. See verse 61. Verse 57. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who was also a disciple of Jesus. This is probably a historical recollection, and the burial is dignified and matter of fact. Pointers for prayer. The account of the Passion is a vivid story with a variety of characters and much action. To enter into the passage, we can read the story slowly and see if we can identify with different characters in the story. Also, any one scene within the story can provide us with much food for reflection and prayer. Keep in mind that one of the aims in reflecting on the passage is to discover the good news the story has for us. Here are just a few general pointers for prayer. Number one, The identity of Jesus is revealed as the Messiah and the Son of God, not with a display of human power, but as one who was prepared to suffer unto death to show us how our God loves us. How does the Passion story speak to you as a revelation of how God loves you? Number two, Jesus gives us an example of patient endurance and faithfulness in suffering. Suffering is something we all encounter. It is not something that anyone likes, but sometimes we cope with it better than others. What have you found helps you to cope better with suffering? Number three, as you read through the narrative of the Passion, where do you find yourself resonating with a character in the action? Is there any message there for you that is life-giving? Prayer. O God of eternal glory, you anointed Jesus, your servant, to bear our sins, to encourage the weary, to raise up and restore the fallen. Keep before our eyes the splendour of the Paschal mystery of Christ, and by our sharing in the Passion and Resurrection, seal our lives with the victorious sign of his obedience and exaltation. We ask this through Christ, our liberator from sin, who lives with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, holy and mighty God, forever and ever. Amen. Thought for the day. Official memorial celebrations are familiar to us, marking wars or national events. Often these are coloured by a mixture of sadness and gratitude. The Christian memorial of the last week of Jesus' life is entirely different. First of all, we tell the whole story again because he is risen from the dead. And secondly, this memorial is an effective one. As we do this in memory of him, the very same gifts of compassion, forgiveness, love and healing are offered again to all present, precisely because Jesus is risen from the dead. Our Christian memory is not a dead remembering, but an effective bringing into the present of the great events that gave us new life in Christ. Prayer. As we recall in word and gesture the great events of salvation, let us know your healing love once more. Amen. Thanks very much, everybody.